You're listening to SBS.
Looking to wake up feeling truly rested? Discover the difference of Tempur. Available now at Harvey Norman. Crafted with Tempur material, Tempur mattresses precisely adapt to your body's shape, weight and temperature, helping to relieve pressure and reduce tossing and turning for a more restful night's sleep. Choose from the Tempur Ease collection, the cooling comfort of Tempur Breeze, or experience the ultimate in luxury with the Tempur Pro Lux Adapt, delivering exceptional body-conforming support and premium comfort, exclusive to Harvey Norman. Complete your sleep sanctuary with a Tempur adjustable base, including the Aspire Elite 2.0, Ergo 2.0, as Ascend and Leora Rangers, exclusive to Harvey Norman. Enjoy personalized comfort features including head and foot elevation, massage functions, and relaxing zero gravity positioning. Experience sleep that's uniquely yours. Visit your local Harvey Norman store today and experience the Tempur difference. Go!
You're listening to SBS On the Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On the Money podcast for this Thursday, the 23rd of July, 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, and we'll have the details with Ben Clark from TMS Private Wealth in a few moments. But first, let's start with Australia's jobs market, which remains resilient despite global uncertainties. The Bureau of Stats says more than 76,000 jobs were created last month, most of them part-time. The unemployment rate remaining at 4.4%. But that's because the participation rose to its highest since July last year, with those aged between 55 and 64 driving the increase. So what does it mean for interest rates? For that and more, I spoke with Faraz Syed, senior economist at Citi Australia, to find out. Faraz, how would you describe the labour market at the moment?
Yeah, look, we had the employment numbers out today. The unemployment rate was at 4.4%. Pretty much what we were expecting in terms of consensus forecast. We thought it'd be a little bit lower at 4.3%. But ultimately, the labour market still remains relatively tight in the sense that there's still jobs being made in the economy. If you look at job growth, it was much higher than expected. It was about 75,000. And across the quarter, in the second quarter, job growth was about 80,000. So on average, in the last few months, the economy is producing about 30,000 jobs a month, which if you look at the long-term average, it seems to be in line with that. So taking, you know, there was a few nuances in that report, but taking it together, we still think the overall seen that just yet in terms of the impact of AI. In fact, if anything, where we are seeing the impact of AI in the Australian job market is actually in the construction of data centers. So you're actually seeing a lot of employment going towards data center construction. So in the near term, you're probably not going to get that big job loss coming through from AI. And, you know, could be a longer term thing where you do see a bit of retrenchment. But as we know, throughout history as well, when you do get new industries, you get new jobs being created as well. So I think in a cyclical sense, the near-term impact of AI, I don't think we're going to see too much. And in fact, where we do see it is probably more in that data center construction side of things. Just going back to, I guess, you know, why has the job market held up so well? I mean, going into this Middle East crisis at the start of this year, the labor market in Australia was actually tightening. We had strong consumer spending at the end of last year. We still had a lot of sectors which had shortages of jobs throughout various industries. So you look at construction, for example, there's been a shortage of jobs in the construction sector for a while now. There's still, you know, population growth that's actually helping the sectors of the economy, such as healthcare, aged care. So job growth in these sectors has still been quite strong. So overall, the labor market, there are certain signs of it that it's slowing a little bit, but ultimately it's still relatively positive.
With the unemployment rate at 4.4%, I think you mentioned earlier that you were expecting it, or Citi was expecting it to be at around 4.3. But how much has that got to do with this rise in the participation rate from 66.7 to 67% Aussies to look for work?
Yeah, a bit of both. It's an interesting point. And we saw this during the last hiking cycle from the RBA. In fact, at the time, you also had cost of living pressures. Of course, inflation was high. Going back to 22, 23, inflation was 5-6%. So you actually had the participation rate increasing because more people were coming into the job market. Essentially, they wanted to make sure that their household budgets weren't stretched. So they were looking for more work. And if you look at the labor force participation in the last couple of months, where it has picked up is the female labor force participation, which again suggests that the families are maybe struggling with the cost of living issues and they are going back into the job market. But quite interestingly, one other aspect of the labor force where I think you could make the argument that perhaps the labor market is not as tight is that underutilization or the underemployment has actually picked up. So essentially that's workers that want to work more but are unable to find a job. So that is suggesting that people are coming into the workforce, they're looking for a job, they might not be getting the full hours they want, but there's still enough jobs there in the economy to support the new workers coming in for now, at least.
So given that support, is there a real threat that the tight jobs market may lead to wages pressures and strong consumer spending?
Look, probably not on the consumer spending side of things, largely because that's probably being driven by the interest rate cycle at the moment. We've seen obviously policy rate increase by three times this year. We're expecting one more increase in the second half of this year. So probably not on the consumer spending side of things, but ultimately the way the job market is, I guess, helping the economy is to actually keep overall, the overall spending in the economy relatively okay. So it's not going to see an acceleration in consumer spending, but it's not going to cause a collapse in consumer spending. And I think just in terms of the overall impact from the increase in interest rates as well, ultimately the labor market has had strong public sector spending in the past, or has been helped by strong public sector spending in the past few years. So it's not necessarily government jobs, but it's government sector related jobs. So what we economists call the non-market sector of the economy, where we have seen an increase in jobs, again, going back to education, healthcare, which are more driven by the population growth. I guess the final point of this puzzle is, what does it mean for wage inflation? On the private sector side of things, wage inflation has come down quite a bit, particularly if you look at overall private sector jobs. But where wage inflation still remains a bit of an issue is actually public sector related jobs, but also jobs attached to the award wages. And we saw an increase in award wages from the Fair Work Commission at 4.75%. Now, historically, inflation is running quite high at 4 and a bit%, and that's why we've got the Fair Work Commission giving such high wage increases. So there is a little bit of risk here for the RBA that wages are starting to chase inflation a little bit. And that's why we still think perhaps there's one more hike to come from the central bank.
That's Feroz Sayed there, senior economist at Citi Australia. To the Australian share market now, where the ASX 200 rose 0.2%, but lost ground after those jobs numbers were released in the morning. The tech sector fell the most, followed by healthcare and consumer discretionary, materials and energy rose. For more, I spoke with Ben Clark, the portfolio manager at TMS Private Wealth. Ben, how would you describe investor sentiment at the moment?
Look, it's pretty quiet at the moment, Rick. At the Australian market, July is sort of a blackout period locally. So a lot of companies don't talk to the market during this time. They're aware of what their earnings result and outlook is looking like, or the boards are. And so they hold off discussing with market what's happening. And in August, it all gets very busy. So locally, we're sort of just following the US without a lot of company-specific news. Of course, in America, the quarterly earnings season is again underway, and there's a lot more action going on in America in terms of individual stock swings.
What about in the more macro theme, right? We're seeing the oil price continuing to rise. Are you worried about the flow-on effects and the impact for investors?
Yeah, look, it's obviously not ideal unless you do own energy stocks. I still would take the view that, and the markets seem to be pretty relaxed about it and also seem to be taking a view that this is, in the scheme of time, this is going to be a shorter period of higher energy prices. And, I think it is a bit of a surprise that we're going through this again, but hopefully it's fairly short-lived.
Unemployment, it remained at 4.4%. We're waiting for an imminent interest rate rise here.
Yeah, I I think this is another surprise. So I think the market was of the view that we would start to see more pain in the employment market. And from a equity market investor, this wasn't necessarily great news either, because it is going to mean that the RBA is going to have to think twice about the upcoming rate decision. Bond market still has it as a coin toss as to whether they have one more rate hike to try and really put the inflation genie back in the bottle. And after a very weak employment result last month, this didn't sit well. So what we have seen today is the Aussie 10-year has risen back above 5% for the first time in some time. And the US 10-year is also above 5%. So bond markets are taking the view that these higher rate settings are going to be around for longer, and that's not great for the equity markets.
Shemara Wickramanayake is stepping down as CEO of Macquarie Bank after around 8 years. She's only one of a handful female CEOs on the ASX. How would you rate her tenure?
Yeah, this was another surprise. This was seen as being a year or two away until she steps aside and we saw a new candidate. She goes out on a high, a fantastic trading update today. All three key components of the Macquarie business are firing, which is something we haven't seen for some time with Macquarie. But if you look at her eight-year tenure, the total shareholder return of Macquarie Bank has been 193% over that period. And if you compare that to the ASX 200, it's nearly doubled the market's return. So that's a phenomenal result. I think also she leaves Macquarie Bank in other, you know, non-shareholder related ways in better shape than she came into it. So you'd have to give her a massive tick in terms of how successful she's been.
Okay, and in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, not exciting, but sit tight. Every reporting season, we see more volatility. We're seeing, I think, a lot more computer-generated trading happening in Australia, which is a trend that we've seen in America for many years now. And even small misses or beats during earnings season next month, we'll see, I think, more and more big swings in the share prices and potentially more opportunities. So it's really, I think, waiting for what's coming ahead. And the other thing I would say we are seeing is another fantastic US quarterly earnings season. The rate of earnings growth that American companies are generating is easily more than double the rate that the Australian companies are generating, and a lot more if you strip out resources. So, you know, the pivot for us to the US markets continue.
That's Ben Clark there from TMS Capital, and he wraps up the podcast for this Thursday. Give it a like, a review, and subscribe if you enjoy it. Don't forget you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close, and we'll catch you
then. SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice, and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only.
Looking to wake up feeling truly rested? Discover the difference of Tempur. Available now at Harvey Norman. Crafted with Tempur material, Tempur mattresses precisely adapt to your body's shape, weight and temperature, helping to relieve pressure and reduce tossing and turning for a more restful night's sleep. Choose from the Tempur Ease collection, the cooling comfort of Tempur Breeze, or experience the ultimate in luxury with the Tempur Pro Lux Adapt, delivering exceptional body-conforming support and premium comfort, exclusive to Harvey Norman. Complete your sleep sanctuary with a Tempur adjustable base, including the Aspire Elite 2.0, Ergo 2.0, Ascend and Leora Rangers, exclusive to Harvey Norman. Enjoy personalized comfort features including head and foot elevation, massage functions, and relaxing zero gravity positioning. Experience sleep that's uniquely yours. Visit your local Harvey Norman store today and experience the Tempur difference.